Hello and welcome to the latest NWSL preview show. My name is Kieran Tatham, and again, he almost now needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's my deputy editor at Women's Soccer Zone, JJ Duke. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I appreciate the introductions. I'll just keep them coming.
Absolutely. Otherwise, someone might not know who you are, so I think we'll keep it going. But this preview, we are going to have a look at the two-time NWSL champions, FC Kansas City. JJ, had a difficult year last year, I think it would be fair to say, and that difficult year probably stems from the loss of some of their key players. Obviously, they lost Lauren Holiday to retirement. Sydney LaRue and Amy Rodriguez were both off of the season because they were busy being mums, and they will continue to be busy being mums, I'm sure. But they're both back. I guess comment on how FCKC did last year and what we can expect from them this time round.
Well, I think it you kind of hit it on the head. They missed a lot, and that hurt them. They went 7-8-5, kind of that mid-table respectability. They picked up a few results at the back end of the season to kind of push them going, get them motivated. But look, they didn't have goals. They kept them out. You and I both agreed that it was almost shambles, that it was shambles, that Nicole Barnhart didn't win goalkeeper of the year last year because she was sensational to even allow the possibility of FCKC even getting close to the postseason, mostly because of her. But they scored 18 goals. That's less than a goal per game. You aren't winning matches with those numbers, but you can stay in matches because of what Barney did last year.
I said on the Chicago Red Stars preview, you are a brave man for saying that Alyssa Nair is the number one goalkeeper for the US. You are a brave man for again saying that someone other than Ashlyn Harris should have won goalkeeper of the year. On your head be it, my friend. On your head be it.
There are more people, though, than what I'm saying that Barney should have won. And look, I mean, obviously, Ashlyn Harris is a very good goalkeeper as well. Do not get me wrong don't take anything out of context here, but I'm still a believer that, and a lot of people are as well, that Barney was, and I still think she could even play for the national team. I don't understand it either, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm completely with you. I'm joking, and I talk in jest. I think Nicole Barnhart was the best goalkeeper last year. I think she's been, if you looked from day one of the NWSL, I think it would be fair to say that 4 years on, 5 years on, Nicole Barnhart has been the best goalkeeper in the NWSL for me. I don't think anyone else has topped what she's been able to do with FC Kansas City. She's won two league titles for starters, and I think that's a testament to how she's performed. And she will be a key player once again this year. In front of her, she has some experienced players like Becky Sauerbrunn and Yael Averbuch, who has really transitioned well into that centre-back position, hasn't she? I spoke to her in Los Angeles during the NSCAA convention, and she said that when Vlatko Andonovski kind of said, I want you to play as a centre-back, and she said, I've never played there before, he had a lot of faith in her. And I think that's also a testament to Vlatko in the kind of faith that he had in someone like Yael, in moving her from a position that she's so used to and has pretty much played her whole career, putting her into a position that she's unfamiliar with and actually seeing her do quite well there as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's about as technically gifted as it comes, and it's not just, by her waking up and going out into the field and all of a sudden, it's there. She is probably one of the hardest workers in the NWSL at improving her craft every day, and it shows. And, again, it's going to take time. She's a player, by trade, center midfielder. She's tall, so she can win balls in the air, but when the ball's at her feet, she can do wonders with it. But gave a game effort playing as a center half last year, obviously a lot of it coming when Becky Sauerbrunn was not available. But now with this team at full strength, Kieran, when you talk about their back line of Averbuch, Sauerbrunn, Brittany Taylor, Katie Bowen in there as well, with Becca Moros, Brianne Reed, and Alex Arlett out, as secondary options, that's a deep defense. That's a tough one to break down.
And they've been tough to break down in previous years as well, haven't they? We've already mentioned that has been their great strength. When you've got a leader like Becky Sauerbrunn, granted she's not been there the whole time because she has her commitments with the US Women's National Team. She will probably be there a little bit more this year because obviously, as we've mentioned in previous shows, no major tournament for the US this year, so Becky may well be around a little bit more. I think bringing Becca Morrows back was a smart move. She will add some depth to that back line. And you, as you say, there are some good players in there. Katie Bowen, young New Zealand international. She will add a lot of quality and will learn and benefit from playing alongside the likes of Becky and Yael. But I like the midfield as well, mate. Now, obviously, they've lost Heather O'Reilly. We're having the benefit of Heather O'Reilly playing over here in England. So she will be a loss to FCKC, and we're not sure what Heather's status is in terms of beyond the next kind of year to 18 months. But looking at the players that they have in that midfield, they have the steel of Desiree Scott. They have the creativity of someone like Erica Timrak, who will no doubt be brimming with confidence because she's coming back after winning the W League with Melbourne City during her stint down in Australia. But I think one player that I'm looking forward to seeing, and I know that there was a lot of talk about her at the NWSL draft, Christina Gibbons. She was called up to Jill Ellis's squad or the camp that they held in Carson earlier this year. She has a very bright future ahead of her, doesn't she? She spoke incredibly well at the NWSL college draft. Very positive, very enthusiastic, comes with a good pedigree from the college system. She's going to be one to watch for FCKC this year, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you can't have a position for her right now because she played as an outside back for Duke. She can play up. She's listed as a midfielder coming into the preseason. She has that attacking ability, you know, maybe not a striker by trade, but if she needed to go play up front, she can. But no, everything that you said is spot on. She's about as great of a kid that you can be around, energetic and enthusiastic about the game and what is to come. And, you know, she would have been happy wherever she would have been drafted. Obviously, maybe, you know, looking back on it, might have been a little bit of a sad note that didn't get drafted by North Carolina, so she literally wouldn't have had to move from Duke to then play down at Cary, North Carolina, where the Courage are. But with that being said, she's going to be learning, you know, and playing with some of the best players in this league in a technical standpoint, with obviously Sauerbrunn and Averbusch and, you know, Mandy Laddish, we haven't even talked about her, is about as cool and calm as you can have a player on the ball. And Tim Rack, creative as well. So Gibby brings a lot to this team, and I think she can only continue to get better, and especially also working under Vladko Ananovsky. As we all know, he is probably one of the standout coaches in this league that can get the best out of any player that he works with.
Yeah, without question. And I think Christina Gibbons is going to benefit not only from the time that she had in the US Women's National Team camp earlier this year, but working with Vlatko Andonovski moving forward, I think is going to be hugely beneficial to her. And I'm excited to see how she turns out because I hear so many good things. Obviously, we don't get a lot of access to the college game over here in the UK, so I've not seen a lot of her, but what I have seen, I've liked. So I think it's going to be exciting to see how she molds into this team. You mentioned the kind of struggles that they had with scoring last year. Shay Groom took on the bulk of that challenge and scored a lot of the goals that FCKC had last year. I think she's going to be a big player again, but she has some competition this year and probably something that she didn't have a lot of last year. Sydney LaRue and Amy Rodriguez are back. And when you have two classy strikers, experienced strikers, World Cup winners coming back into your squad, that makes things very exciting for FC Kansas City fans, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you know, you use the word competition. I'm going to use just plain old simple help. I mean, Shay Groom was pretty much pressed into being the only out-and-out striker for that team. And fair play to her. She gave it a great go. She's a feisty player, to say the least. Not afraid to get physical by any stretch of the imagination, but scored just about half of the goals that the team had last year at 8 of them, or just under half, I should say. Can do a little bit of everything. Is a player that is more of a face towards goal striker, get out wide at times, but, you know, good finisher. And that's the thing about all three of these strikers that you have on the board right now. A-Rod, obviously, as we all know, super technical with the ball. I mean, her working with Lauren Holiday for years in the national team, and obviously with FC Kansas City for the 2014-15 season, those two just did wonders connecting. And Sid LaRue, you know, we haven't seen her really at the club level since her Seattle run in 2014, had limited, very limited duty with Western New York Flash in 2015. Didn't play last year, obviously, due to maternity leave. But she's a player that has, you know, Kansas City is her home. You know, she's been there now with Dom Dwyer, her husband, for a few years, obviously now has a child. And, you know, that's the other part about this league. I think for the first time with this league, you have players that have roots down in a city. We haven't had that in previous leagues. Now players can feel like, well, this could be my home all year round. And I think LaRue, from what I'm understanding, she's coming into preseason motivated, fit, and ready to go back at it. Because remember, also, she'll no doubt get another chance at a U.S. national team camp. So it's up to her to perform with FC Kansas City, and there's no better team for her to do that than with the club that she's with.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, won't it? I mean, obviously, with the time that A-Rod and Sydney LaRue have had off, there have been the emergence of the likes of Lynn Williams and Jess McDonald's got into the U.S. squad. There is depth in that U.S. women's national team roster, and it's not going to be easy for Sydney or Amy to kind of just walk back in. I'm sure, as you say, they will see minutes, I'm certain, for the U.S. women's national team. We're focusing more on their club team, of course. There is no doubt they are going to have a huge influence on that club. I wonder if we may see FC Kansas City back where they were a couple of years ago, challenging for the playoffs and potentially for a third NWSL title, because last year it was a struggle. But as you said, Shea Groom now has some help. We've talked about some of the quality they have in midfield, that solid back line. They may not have some of the, maybe the flair players that some of the other teams do, but I look at this FC Kansas City roster, and the word that comes to mind is solid.
Absolutely, they're solid. Now, I think the big question that will determine their fate is, can A-Rod, I think more specifically Amy Rodriguez, but also Sid LaRue as well, can they refine their form? Obviously, being away from the game for a long stretch of time, it's hard to get back into the swing of things, but we've seen Amy do it before with Kansas City, missing the 2013 season due to maternity leave, and then comes back and absolutely destroys for two seasons. We know Sid LaRue has class. She's a great scorer on her day. If she can find, I think, that form that she had in 2012-13 and maybe a little bit of 14 there, then I think she could very well make an impact. And if they all do that, then yes, this is going to be a Kansas City team that is going to not only make the playoffs, but they're definite contenders for a championship. If they don't, it might be a little harder to see them finish in the top four.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely a lot stronger than they were last year, and I think it could be that we see them competing at the right end of the table this time round. We'll wrap it up there, mate, and when we come back after the break, we will have an interview with a member of the FC Kansas City team.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So welcome back to our NWSL preview for FC Kansas City, and joining us now for this second part of the show is a former guest on the show. The last time I spoke to her was actually a little bit closer to home for me over here in the UK when she was at Notts County Ladies. She's now back in Kansas City with FC Kansas City, Canadian international, the destroyer, Desiree Scott. Desi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. So we've kind of been asking players that have been coming on for our NWSL previews how preseason is going and how things are in the camp. So give us a little bit of insight into the feeling and the mood inside FC KC and how preseason's going in the early days.
Yeah, preseason has been tough. You know, it's the two-a-days, it's the grind, it's working on the fitness that we need, you know, for the upcoming season. So it's always a joy as an athlete coming into that. But the team's in really good place at the moment. We're, you know, we're grinding every day. We're working hard, and we're in a better start than I think we were last year with some players coming back. So I think the spirit's good, the mood is good, and we're excited to get the season started.
They say that kind of new signings and new players coming into the squad always gives players a lift. You've got not two new signings, but players that people will recognise. Obviously, Amy Rodriguez has been phenomenal for FC Kansas City in the time that she's been there. Sydney LaRue moved to FC KC, but then obviously announced that she was pregnant and has had her first child. Having those two involved in preseason and involved this season, though, that must be huge. Talk about the impact that they've made in preseason.
Oh yeah, it's been massive. I think they just bring a bit of, you know, that quality and confidence that we need, you know, in our front line. You know, a lot of times Shay Groom, who had, you know, sort of the role of scoring our goals last year, now she's got the firepower around to help her, and I think you can really see that in the training sessions, their connection building and growing. And it's easy for us midfielders to have options in front of us, and now, you know, we're feeling much more confident going into the season. Defensively, we always were, but now we've really got that, you know, attacking prowess as well.
How different is the approach and the mentality this season, bearing in mind what happened last year? Last year, the team was coming into pre-season off the back of winning an NWSL championship. This year, you're coming off the back of a campaign where I think it would be fair to say the team struggled. You showed signs of how good you can be, but probably didn't meet the expectations and the standards that you know you can reach. How has the approach to this preseason been different to maybe last year?
Yeah, I think, you know, not making playoffs last year was a bit of a hit for the team, especially coming off those back-to-back championships. So it was kind of just sort of a wake-up call to, you know, what we need to do in the off-season, but also what we need to work on coming in as a group in this preseason. And for us, it's about keeping, you know, our game plan of, you know, possession style game, but now we've really got to change things going forward in the attacking third, which has been our focus now. Like I said, defensively, our team is solid, but it was scoring goals last season that I think hindered us in really finishing those opportunities. So I think the mindset this season is just score goals. How can we help give those end products to those front players and then still be that rock defensively? So
we talked about the impact of Amy Rodriguez and Sydney LaRue coming back. I'm kind of interested to know the impact and what it feels like when you have new draft players coming in from the college system, high-profile individual like Christina Gibbons, US Women's Under-23 International, has had a little bit of training time with the senior squad as well. Talk about the kind of impact that draft players can have, because I guess there's that balance between integrating them into the team so that you kind of make them feel welcome, but also getting them hitting the ground running hard and quickly, because you know that the NWSL is a short season, and if you don't start quickly, then you can be playing catch up very early on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the draft players that we have, Gibby especially, I think she's, you know, proven herself already in the 2 weeks that I've been here in preseason, and they just bring that bit of, you know, energy and excitement. They want to prove themselves in this league and in this team. And you know, cracking the starting 11 is not an easy task with this team. It's super competitive every day in training. So I think just that competitive edge that the draft players bring and just that sense of physicality and wanting to prove themselves day in and day out is key, along with also just, you know, allowing them to just showcase who they are as players and how that will adapt and fit in with the team.
Talk to me a little bit about the impact of Vlatko Angonovski, you know, a coach that's been with FCKC since the inception of the league. We've seen other teams chop and change their managers. For some it's worked, some maybe not so much, but he's been there from day one, and all I ever hear about is how good he is and how influential he is on that team. And talk to me about it from a player's perspective, what it's like to work with someone like Vlatko.
Yeah, I think Vlatko is one of the main reasons I choose to come back to KC. You know, the girls are amazing, but as a coach, Vlatko just he makes the environment fun, first and foremost, which I think is so important for a soccer player who's training day in and day out every day, you know, the same sort of routine. So for a player to actually want to come to training and work hard is super important, and Vlatko has that environment. But he also allows you to be you within that competitive environment. I mean, he'll allow you to just be play free and build that individual confidence that you need in this league within his playing structure. So it's a competitive environment, but also a fun one that you're able to be yourself and grow at the same time.
And does he set team and individual goals for players, or is it very much the focus is getting to the playoffs and individual goals can come second?
No, I think he has a good balance of both. I think as a team, we set out, you know, we want to win another championship. I think that's every team's goal at the start of the season. But also, you know, as different team units, you know, the defenders, they have their goals, the midfields, we have ours, but then there's also that individual, what do you want to bring and get out of the season? So he has the different layers and a great balance across the board.
Talk about your move back to AFC, Casey. You mentioned that a couple of minutes ago. You came and joined us in the UK for a little while, played for Notts County Ladies in the FAWSL. What did you take back to the NWSL from your time over here? What did you pick up? What were the things that you really gained from the experience that you had, other than obviously the magnificent opportunity to play at Wembley? I know the result didn't go your way, but the first Women's FA Cup final to be at Wembley, I'm sure, was a highlight. But in terms of your game and your individual development, what did you take back to America from your time in England?
Yeah, I absolutely loved my decision to go to Notts County. I enjoyed my two seasons with them thoroughly. And it was definitely something that helped me. You know, the league is just growing and getting more and more competitive in the FAWSL. And I think for me, it was about being challenged in the training environment as in the games, the physicality that was brought, and also just being able to bring my individual skill and, you know, be the player that I wanted to be over in England, and now bringing that confident player back here to the NWSL a bit closer to home. So I think it was just a competitive environment over there, and it allowed me to get that experience overseas, which I think a lot of players want to experience in their career. And I'm just a more confident player, happy to have gotten that under my belt now coming back here to KC.
Is the NWSL any different from the first spell that you had to the spell that you had last year?
In terms of what, sorry?
In terms of, we've seen the league kind of grow, we've seen interest, but also I think the level of players has kind of gone up as well. We're seeing players like Amandine Henry going to Portland. We've seen players like yourself come to England. We weren't sure if you'd go back to the US. You have gone back. The caliber of player that is moving over to the NWSL is always increasing. I guess what my question relates to is, have you noticed any differences in terms of the play or the style or anything that might have been a little bit different to when you were there first time round?
Yeah, I definitely agree with your statement with the quality of players that are coming to this league. I think every weekend, every game you're coming up against, nothing's guaranteed. I think you're literally fighting every touch, every play, you know, matters in this league. And, you know, teams will punish you for your mistakes. So it's definitely the speed of play is quicker. The quality of the players you're coming up against is definitely, you know, improved since the first year, I think. And even just within the Kansas City team, you know, every training session it's a challenge, and you know, you're having to be your best on the day. So I think it's a super competitive environment and one that's going to definitely benefit me as a player.
I know FC KC are well followed. You obviously have a lot of fans that turn out for your games, and obviously you have a lot of followers on social media and other avenues as well. How are you adopting your new fans, the little ones that we saw? Some pictures on social media last week, Lauren Holiday, Amy Rodriguez, Sydney LaRue, all bringing the little ones along. That must be quite cool to have a half training ground, half creche on training days.
Oh, it makes everyone here have baby fever, that's for sure. They're adorable. I mean, we're a family. Like, it really feels like that on and off the pitch. You know, we work for each other on the field, but then it's kind of nice to get your little baby fix in after the session, and they bring them around, which is nice, and it really just sort of makes it feel a bit more like home. And yeah, it's been great having those girls around and their little nuggets.
Well, before we leave you to go off and do much more important things, we should mention the fact, and this show will probably come out after one of the games, but for Canada, you have two big international friendlies in Germany and in Sweden. Talk about the importance of those, building on the win that you had over Mexico earlier this year. Of course, since we last spoke to you, you've won another Olympic bronze medal, which we should say congratulations. Phenomenal effort by your team in Rio last year. What's the significance of the two friendlies? And also talk about this Canada team, because a lot of people are excited about it. A lot of people are talking about the mixture of young talent and senior players that you have, and some actually looking at 2019 as a real opportunity for you guys to really make a statement. But talk about the two friendlies that you've got coming up.
Yeah, we're heading out tomorrow, actually, to Sweden to start. We've got a match between them, and then we follow up that with Germany. And for us, it's just about playing the best teams in the world. You know, Germany now just recently took over the number one spot in the FIFA ranking, so you know, they're just a tough competitor that we faced in Rio, like you said. And then Sweden also, you know, they were in the final as well at those Olympics. So these are huge games, tier one sort of test for us. And, you know, we're shooting to get keep moving up those rankings in the world. And I think playing the top teams in the world is what's going to help get us there. And so now it's just about building as a team. We do have, you know, a lot of veterans that had retired and a lot of young ones coming in who, you know, are still maybe learning the systems, but also are bringing something fresh that we really need to the group as a whole. So it's an exciting time and also a building time to build off what we did in Rio and to continue that progression.
Well, we wish you well with those two games and, of course, with the season in FC Kansas City. Thank you again for joining us, Desi, for the second time on the show. Listeners, thank you very much for tuning in to this FC Kansas City NWSL preview. Do check out womenssoccerzone.com for our other shows, and of course you can download them on iTunes. Until next time, we will catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.